Good afternoon. It is indeed quite an honor as one of my first official acts as a part of the Cleveland Browns organization to have the opportunity to present to you our new president, Mike Holmgren. I've had the opportunity during the course of finalizing his contract to get to know Mike a bit, and I have to tell you that all those reports are true. He is a man of vision, determination, and most of all, integrity. His accomplishments speak for themselves. He really doesn't need any introduction. That's why it is such a thrill for me to say on behalf of the people of the city of Cleveland, Mike, on behalf of all of us who kept the faith and knew that a better day was coming for the Cleveland Browns, on behalf of Cleveland Browns fans all over this nation, indeed all over the world, welcome, Mike Holmgren.
Thanks, friend. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Well, I want you to know, for the last 562 press conferences I've given, I didn't wear a necktie. So this is a new deal. Jim, good to see you. I look forward to getting to know all of you over the course of our time here. I know a few of you from my days as a coach. When I made the decision this year to evaluate how I would feel being away from the game after coaching for a long time, I realized I missed it a lot. Then I had to make a decision, or we had to make a decision, whether I would stay on the field or attempt a new challenge. So after much consideration, you know, I thought that I would like to approach the NFL and a team in a different way, a new challenge, if you will. So once that was done, Randy Lerner approached us. We had some wonderful discussions and meetings, and the rest, as they say, is history. So I'm very, very excited to be here. I'm excited about the possibilities of what we could do, and understanding that any organization that has changed like this can expect some change. So, but I've had the privilege and the pleasure of meeting a number of folks in the organization. Today's my first day. I still have a whole lot of folks to meet. We're going to be making some decisions by the end of the week, hopefully. But something that I thought could be done rather quickly. Sometimes there are a lot of rules in the NFL, as you know, as far as hiring people, and we're going to abide by those rules. And teams are in playoffs, those types of considerations. And so it's probably going to take a little bit longer than I had hoped, but looking forward to the challenge of not necessarily rebuilding the Browns, because the Browns have a wonderful, wonderful history, but being a part of getting the team back to where they should be. And I'm talking about the playoffs and potentially the Super Bowl. That's the goal of every organization in this business. You know, I had the privilege of my first head coaching job was in Green Bay, and my second one was in Seattle. And in both instances, I think we did a good job of going in there and fixing things a little bit and eventually playing in the Super Bowl, which is the hope of every player and certainly of every person in the organization. One quick story, when we won the Super Bowl in Green Bay, it had been a long time since Coach Lombardi that they had participated in the Super Bowl, much less win it. And I remember being in the Superdome in Louisiana, sitting in the coach's room there. Some of you know where that is. And there were a lot of happy folks in there. And I asked them to leave for just a second and so I could be by myself. And I remember thinking the players are, you could hear the players, the coaches, but there's so many more people that were enjoying that win. There's so many more people that make up an organization and deserve being the credit for building something up and eventually playing in that game. So we're going to try very, very hard to get everybody pulling in the same direction. And hopefully, you know, it'll have a happy ending. So once again, I'm very, very excited. I would like to, before I go any farther, I'd like to introduce my wife, Kathy. We had gotten rid of all our snow equipment when we left Green Bay. But you know what? It's beautiful outside. It's beautiful, and we're very, very happy to be here. So thank you. Questions? Yes, sir.
Tony Zarella from CBS 19.
Tony.
Here. Welcome to Cleveland.
Thank you.
Can you confirm you met with Eric Mangini today, and can you update us on where that stands in terms of your decision?
Well, that's an important question for the organization. And I met with Eric briefly, but not the meeting. Okay? I saw him. He was busy. They're getting their year-end evaluations completed. I saw a number of the coaches. But we have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow. And, you know, what I asked him to do is I asked him to think about a few things this evening. I didn't want to really get any sort of answer or any feeling from him today. But I did give him a list of things to think about for our meeting tomorrow. You know, in fairness to Eric, you know, instead of getting blindsided with a bunch of hot questions from me, I was a coach for a long time, and it's important that he understands where I'm coming from. It's important that I understand where he's coming from, and the only way you win in this league is if the coach and the person in my position and or general manager are absolutely on the same wavelength. That's the only way you have a chance. You know, you've all seen organizations that you kind of scratch your head and they, why doesn't it work for them? They should be better, or their record should be better, or whatever. And it boils down to, you can pinpoint it, is that egos get in the way. Everyone establishes their little power base, and it destroys the team. At least it doesn't let them accomplish what they should accomplish. So my goal is to have that feeling in this building, is to have everyone thinking in a like manner, going in the same direction. Let's put all the egos aside for a second, and let's get around the job of winning. So that meeting I'm going to have with him tomorrow.
Mike, I'm Tom Moser, Associated Press.
Hey, Tom.
Good to see you. Can you confirm a report that Tom Eckert will be in to interview for the general manager's position?
Tom is coming in tomorrow. Yes.
Do you have any other candidates lined up?
Yes, we do. No, I can't. Thanks for asking, though. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, ma'am.
Mary Kay Cabot from the
Cleveland
Dealer. Does Eric have a legitimate chance to win you over in this meeting tomorrow?
Absolutely. Otherwise, I wouldn't have set the meeting up. I mean, I am, when you get to know me a little bit, and some of you in the room know me a little bit, I don't dance too much. It's I appreciate people that'll shoot straight, and so I wouldn't do that to him. We're going to have a meeting and maybe a couple of meetings this week, but I hope to have that resolved by the end of the week. Yes, sir.
Mike, John Tellich, Fox 8, welcome to Cleveland.
Thank you.
Question about Josh Cribbs. Obviously the most valuable, most popular player. How strongly do you feel that he needs to have a new contract? How soon could that be accomplished?
Well, that's the question. You know, we've been in contact with his representatives even when I was in Arizona. I believe players should be rewarded for what they do. I have no problems with that at all. And so what happens, though, on occasion is our view of how much that should be and the agent's view of how much that should be differs. So We have made an effort. We'll continue to make an effort to handle Josh's situation. I want Josh here. Okay. Now he's got 3 years left on his existing contract. But so it's a little unprecedented to start doing things this early in a contract like that. But having said that, a player should get what he deserves, in my opinion. And he's been a fine player. So it's just that business part of it that we're going through now. We're trying, and I hope how we do that is good enough.
Mike, in recent days, Eric Mangini's described what he took over here as a mess. What do you think you're inheriting?
Well, they've won 4 games in a row. You know, that's pretty good. Tom, I got to take off. You got to give me some time to take off my coaching hat. Okay? Now I'm a big shot executive. Okay? So what I have to do is I have to probably rearrange how I think about the team. And so Eric's going to view it a certain way because he's the coach. I've gone into situations and said probably words very close to that. You go in and take a program that's been down a little bit and you want to build it up, and sometimes frustration sets in and you said, you know, it doesn't happen fast enough. Guys get hurt. You were counting on this player and something happens and coach's frustration comes out. The team finished strong. They did. But again, Eric's, you know, there's a lot more to how this is going to play out than the last 4 games.
Mike, as Jeff Schiedel.
I'm sorry, what is your
Jeff Schiedel.
Jeff, okay.
As the team president now, with nothing between you and Randy, do your duties go beyond the football aspect of the organization?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
Selling sweets?
Everything. I sell sweets, hot dogs, parking, the whole deal. Yeah, I get to do it.
Then what goes on with the football stuff?
Yeah, I was a business major in college. The Harvard of the West, I went to USC, you know that. But no, my responsibility is for the organization. So I'll take an active role in everything. Now, the key to that, one of the keys to that, clearly I'm not going to micromanage. I'm going to hire good people, or we have good people in place, and I'm going to oversee that. But, yeah, I'm going to take an active role in everything.
And a follow-up on that, what
besides a general manager, who do you want to hire? What positions do you want to hire in the personnel department?
That's in the process of being decided right now. And I would have a much better answer for you at the beginning of next week. And I know that doesn't help you much, but we have a number of things we're looking at. And you know, we talked about change. And some of that is just restructuring, in my opinion. So I don't want – sometimes, you know, you have 5 people changing the light bulb. I don't – we're going to look at everything and try and streamline things, get good people to do it and work hard and take it from there. But I have a much better feel for that next week. Tony.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Jeff did ask the question I was going to ask, but can you go through what you've done since you arrived last night? As much detail as you can. Did you meet with the owner? Did you meet with other members of the organization today?
Well, some. The owner was going to be here, but he got trapped. He could not travel because of the weather. So I didn't have a chance to meet with Randy. We were going to meet today. We'll meet tomorrow. I don't have an office yet. So I just ran into the first one that was empty. And so they set me up pretty good, and that's what I've been doing. I've been talking to people, putting lists together of potential candidates for any number of things, trying to evaluate the organization now and how things are set up and learning really how things have been done here. And if change is necessary, change will take place. If it's not, it won't. And so The other thing, as you would know, I have a stack of messages up there this high. And so every guy I've ever coached with, played with, went to school with, wants a job. You know, so, and I understand that. So I'm just trying to be fair with those types of things. That's the kind of day it's been so far.
Mike, have you Todd Porter with the Canton Repository?
Okay, Todd.
Have you contacted any coaches, head coaches, as candidates, and asked them, and kind of along that lines, do you have a list of coaches that you may or may not contact based on how things go with Eric later this week?
Well, you know, that's a little premature. You know, like I said, I'm meeting with Eric tomorrow. Any list, if I spent a lot of time on a list, it might have been a lot of time wasted. You know, so let's see how this thing goes during the week. And then what I've always done in my position as a head coach in the league, I've always kept lists every year of position coaches, head coaches. So in answer, I guess an honest answer to your question, I have lists. I have a lot of names, you know. Now, will I ever have to go to that list? We'll see.
Time Warner Cable. Yeah, welcome to town.
Thank you.
Going back to what you said about the last four games, do you generally subscribe that your record is what you are, and no matter how you got to that point?
If I understand what you're saying, I think so in one hand. On the other hand, I think over the course of a season, a young team can improve. You can see growth. You can see development. My third year in Seattle, we were 4-9 and having a bad year. I mean, not playing very well. Then our quarterback, Matt Hasselbeck, got hot. And he was just starting to feel it, starting to become a quarterback for us. And then we won our last three games against playoff caliber teams, San Diego, Atlanta, one other team. And we finished the season 7-9. And that was the springboard for what happened in the future. And we, you know, we eventually got to the Super Bowl. So we were having a lousy season. The team was way better at the end of the year than it was at the beginning of the year. And guys started coming. You know, Sean Alexander started learning what it was to be in the NFL. You know, all those things. So your record is, you know, that's what it is. No question about it. But can you improve and can you kind of build on a tough record for the next year because of what happened at the end of the season? I think absolutely you can.
With CBS
first, Marty.
CBSSports.com. It sounds like you're going into tomorrow's meeting with an open mind. What does he have to show you or prove to you or say to you or convince you of to make him to for you to make that decision that he'd be the guy that you want to keep?
Now, Marty, you don't really expect me to answer that question. I understand the question. I do understand the question. But in fairness to everybody, let's just let this play out, okay? And like I said, hopefully by the end of the week, I can make the call.
Yeah. Bob, with the CBS 19, when you said everyone's got to be on the same page.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said, you know, well, you're a West Coast offense guy. He's a 3-4 defense guy. And the coaching trees haven't passed over. There's no real thing. Is that the kind of same page, or is when you read into all that, are we just talking about stuff that doesn't really matter?
I think it's a little bit of the same page, but all I care about is for the organization to win and set it up properly. That's what I want. If you play a 34 defense and I'm a four-man line guy, or if you run the spread offense and I'm a West Coast guy, I don't care. I really don't care. I always thought it was a little bit funny. Of course, I learned my trade, if you will, under Bill Walsh, who got credit for the West Coast offense. But actually, if you asked Bill about it, it was Paul Brown, you know. And so, and it's a term I always thought, with all due respect, I always thought it was a little bit of a lazy term that you guys use sometimes, you know, with all due respect. Because I took what I learned, I go to wherever I go, and I'm doing my thing and adding this, adding that, and while philosophically it might be, you might make an argument for West Coast, it was different. John Gruden worked for me. Andy Reid worked for me. Mariucci worked for me. All these guys, you know, Mike Sherman, they all learned what we did, but then they go to their places and it changes. So I think if you look at football, unless you're running the Wildcat or one of those things that they're doing now, you see a lot of similarities in offense. So I wouldn't get too bogged down in that. What I would do is I believe I can contribute a little to the offensive thinking. I'm not going to coach the team. I am not going to coach the team. But in the off season and meetings, if someone wants to come in and talk football with me, and I'd love that. I'd still enjoy that. I hope they do it. But I've got a different gig now, you know, and I'm not going to coach the football team. We'll hire coaches to coach the football team.
Terry. When it comes to, like, drafting players, free agents, who's going to do that? How are you going
to
do this?
Well, that remains also to be seen. You know, if right now I have a lot of titles. I could do it all if I wanted to. I don't want to. You know, I think we're going to hire. I'm going to hire a general manager. Now I know you guys know this. Very few teams, none that I've been associated with high-powered personnel people or presidents or whatever you want to call them, does the guy come in, pound the desk and say, we're taking this guy and I don't care what anybody thinks. There's one team I can think of that does that. There's no – but no one else. So if we have a general manager, and I will be involved, absolutely involved, but as to actually who says, okay, we're going to pick this guy on draft day, right now I couldn't tell you.
How much input do you think a coach should have in college drafting?
A lot. I coached for 25 years. So, but absolutely it's a mistake. It's a mistake. If whoever has that responsibility on draft day does not listen to the assistant coaches and coaches. Okay? And the best example I can give you was, again, when we went to Green Bay and Ron Wolf was my boss. He ran the Packers. Hires me, first-time head coach. And he told me, I will never give you a player you don't want. But I realized he set up the board. We set it up. He set it up, but he involved me in everything. And I think that's the best way to do it. That's what we have. If there are these little power groups or little kingdoms in any organization are not healthy. They're not healthy. And a part of my job is to make sure that everyone feels that they can contribute and be listened to.
Guys, two more questions.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, you said you're not going to coach again. How much will you miss that? And do you see yourself a year, two down the road, considering a return to the sideline?
I think I said I wasn't going to coach this year. You know, I don't know, Scott. You know, I think maybe afterwards you can ask my wife, you know, what she'd rather have me do. You know what? I did it. It was so much fun. I enjoyed it. I miss it. I know I'm going to miss it. But I think I've never been one to look back that way. So my challenge is to take my new role, help whoever the coach is be as successful as he can be. Help him. And understand that. I'm in a different place now. If I can feel good about how I've helped somebody that way, that'll be enough for me.
Marlon Rynauer, Akron-Beacon Journal. Just along the same lines, but this is, you've been out of football for a whole year, and this is your first day. I mean, I just wondered how you felt when you walked in here, or just what, you know.
It's invigorating. It's fun. You know, when we had a blast our year off. I got to ride my motorcycle a little bit. We We read a lot of books. I mean, we were with the grandkids. I mean, it was a great year, something I needed. You know, I teased my friends Parcells, Vermeil, Madden, all those guys. About 10 years, they took a break. They took a break, came back. I never did that. You know, so it was 17 years of and I needed to take a break. I didn't know what I was going to do when I came back. I didn't know if I was going to get back into football when I left. But like I said, I realized I missed it. There's something inside of me that the challenge of rebuilding things, it's just what I like to do. And it was a coach at first, and now I have a different role. So I'm invigorated. After talking to Randy Lerner, he was unbelievable with me. Unbelievable. He so wants this team to be a great football team for the people of this city, the Browns fans all over the world. And he challenged me. And so when you get that type of support from your owner, it kind of sealed the deal. So I'm excited. We're excited. Now, someone told me when I came, it didn't snow in Cleveland. In Green Bay, like I said, we've experienced a little snow and a little cold at one time or another. So it's going to be fun and exciting, and we just roll up our sleeves in the next few weeks and months and do the best job we can of analyzing what we have, where we have to go. I pray all the time for wisdom and discernment. So we'll see how it goes.
Great. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.